thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
What's up, Atlanta sports fans? I'm Graham Waldrop, and alongside me, as always, it's Adam. It's NFL legal tampering time period, Kalal, and we are Atlanta Zone. Two Atlanta natives recapping the week that was Atlanta professional sports with wacky-ass hijinks and analysis presented by Belly Up Sports. Adam, how's it going, sir?
Graham, it's going fantastic. Thank you, as always, for asking. We have finally made it. It's been months of episodes of pure speculation.
Yes.
No real news.
No.
Just blathering about different rumors.
But these rumors were true, Adam.
Well, in fairness, there were other rumors that were not true.
True.
But this one had some legs, and we have a quarterback, Graham.
We do have a new quarterback in Atlanta. Kirk Cousins signs a 4-year, $180 million deal. So for you math wizards out there, it's about $45 million a year. First 2 years are fully guaranteed. After that, you can cut ties, and it's not the end of the world in terms of a dead cap hit. It actually happened. It happened around 2:28 or so.
Yeah, the first day you could sign him.
Yeah, on Monday, March 11th, and it was one of those things where I was literally dialed into the radio all day, walking around, driving around. And I was just listening on I was switching back and forth between 680 and 92.9. And they just kept saying, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. We promise it's going to happen. And they announced it live on the air. It was wild. It was one of those things where it's like you kind of knew it was coming. But so many times the Falcons have been used as leverage, as a punching bag. You know,
yep.
Bill Parcells used this as leverage. Deshaun Watson used this as leverage. You know, the list goes on. Those are the two that come to mind at the moment. But this is happening. So officially, the contract will be signed tomorrow at 4 Eastern, or I guess today when you guys are listening to this, if this comes out in time. And Kirk Cousins is going to be your quarterback, Adam. And it's one of those things where there are some negative things about Kirk that we've talked about. Obviously, the Achilles, the age. He doesn't have a great playoff record, has a bad record against teams that are under 500. But you look at the flip side of it. This is a guy that was a top three quarterback last year before he ruptured his Achilles. 18 touchdowns, like 5 picks or something. 70% completion rating. These are all like top 2-3 numbers. Sometimes I think the touchdowns were number one. 18 touchdowns in 8 games. I think we had 16 or 17 passing touchdowns for an entire fucking season. So obviously a massive upgrade at the quarterback position. Regardless of whether or not you feel that Kirk can still deliver, he is light years ahead of where we've been since probably 2019, Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, and the good news about the Achilles as well is that, Kirk is, for the record, it's Kirk.
Kirk, K-I-R-K, not Kurt.
Not Kurt.
Yes.
So we got to be clear. You know, this is a new player in our heads, so we got to adapt our verbiage as well. But, you know, Kirk's the most immobile quarterback you'll ever come across for the most part. So, you know, the Achilles is less of an issue than if it were, you know, someone who's running around all the time. So he's a pocket passer
True.
At the end of the day. So yeah. I trust that the medical team did their due diligence and that they're happy with where he's at. You're not going to throw out money like that if you're not. And this is just like all the last 3 years of shit that we've taken with shedding contracts, like getting on the right side of the cap and all that. That is for this, so we can finally go out and get the number one quarterback available. That's what he was. I know a lot of people are upset and still want Justin Fields strictly because he was, you know, a Georgia Bulldog and
he had 8 good games last year.
Yeah,
or something.
A mobile quarterback. But look where he's at now. Like, there's not a starting gig out there for Fields.
No, Sam Darnold was signed. I mean, obviously, Fields has to be traded, but Sam Darnold was signed for $10 million. I can't remember where it might have been, Minnesota.
Yeah.
But he landed somewhere, and they gave him $10 million, and that's not a lot, but that's more than the average backups game. Like, Jacoby Brissett signed for $8 million.
New England.
Yeah, last year.
Who did the Broncos get?
I can't remember. There have been so many moves.
Oh, Gardner Minshew, I think, is in Denver.
I think you're right.
So, look, I get it. He's exciting. He looked great against us. But at the end of the day, we need consistency. We just need
We can't have question marks anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the Falcons are trying to do right now. It's like, if you moved up to get Jaden Daniels at 3, which is something I still kind of wish we did. But if you do it, there's still a lot of questions. There's more questions around Jaden Daniels. There's more questions around particularly Justin Fields. In terms of how they fit this offense is designed, right, for a guy like Kirk Cousins. Think about this offense comes from Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. You know, situations where guys like Brock Purdy and Matt Stafford have been extremely successful. And newsflash, Zach Robinson runs the same exact offense. So Kirk Cousins doesn't have to learn shit. He's coming in here knowing how to run this offense. It's just a matter of knowing your personnel at this point or getting to know them for him to really have success. He's got Bijan, hopefully Kyle Pitts is good next year. He's got London. We also signed Darnell Mooney, which we'll get into as well. And I'm sure we're going to add more. The thing is that we have weapons for Kirk. Kirk has been successful, and I'm all for this at the end of the day. I went through sort of a wide range of emotions yesterday. I had time to sleep on it. I'm at peace with it, even though it is a shit ton of money. I'm at peace with it.
It is, like, wild. I feel like we just need to, like, take a moment to appreciate the fact that, like, we didn't get screwed over, like you're saying, like with Belichick and like Parcells, all the things in the past, right, where like this was our guy.
Well, we screwed Belichick over, I think.
Well, but, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We actually, like, once it got like, cause like come Monday, like early before the signing, like, you know, Baker Mayfield's off the board to the Bucks. That was like one of the potential options.
Right.
Russell Wilson was off the board to
the Steelers.
Yeah. So now at that point, we're just looking at Kirk, who very well could have just re-signed with Minnesota.
Yep.
Or the trade for Fields. And then, like, so if Kirk had re-signed with Minnesota, then, like, we're desperate and we're trading like a one or two for Fields just to, like, have something, or getting like a Brissett or someone like that. And
right,
like, and this is a completely different podcast at the end of the day. So
I would have been really upset.
Yeah.
If nothing else, even if this doesn't work, you can't say the Falcons aren't trying to go for the jugular here. They're not trying to solidify themselves as real contenders. And you do that by getting a guy like Kirk Cousins with his ability to make all the throws that you want and his consistency. I mean, we talked about like what he did last year, but you just look over the last, I don't know, since 2015, he's like consistently thrown at least 25 touchdowns a year outside of last season. That's only because he played 8 games. He's throwing under 14 interceptions. Most of the time it's been in the single digits, maybe 10, 11, 12. He's throwing for over 4,000 yards and having really good quarterback ratings and completion percentages. Like, he is a above average to great quarterback. And in the right situation, like we talked about last week, it could be one of those things where it's like a Stafford thing. Like, Stafford didn't win shit in Detroit. Never even won a playoff game. I think he went to the playoffs once, comes here, or goes to L.A., wins the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that's exactly what's going to happen with the Falcons, but I think that is the M.O. they're trying to go for, and you know why. Yeah. It's because all those guys that we have now are from the Rams.
Yeah, so. And we have some great playmakers in play, so like he can like just literally sit back there and let them do their thing, and he's going to hit the throws. That was always the thing last year. It's like, dude, if Ritter just like hit the throws he's supposed to hit, when guys are open, hit them.
Yeah.
And like that only happened like 50% of the time, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, no one wants to have their eyes bleeding from watching that type of quarterback play again. No. And
it was inexcusable.
No, this is wild, man. Like, we're going to be primetime.
We should get some primetime games.
Games next year.
Like,
for sure.
We could get that Eagles game in South America. We could get, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if like Baker versus Kirk is prime time. Yeah. I think we'll get at least 3 or 4 primetime games next year with Kirk being in tow.
Which obviously isn't the goal, but like, you know, as a fan at the end of the day, it is, you know, those 1 p.m. Sunday
games. That's all you got.
They can get a little sleepy sometimes. You
yeah.
know?
It's nice. Yeah, especially the 4 o'clock. Like, when we went to play Arizona, I was like, I can't handle this.
Yeah.
You know, another good thing about Kirk Cousins, he was number one in completion percentage on passes over 20 yards last year. So it's like the deep ball, the deep threat with London, with Pitts, hopefully Mooney as well, the speedster we added today from Chicago. You know, it's just another asset of Kirk Cousins. It's his ability to just make all the throws.
Yeah, I think he's like not known for having like a huge arm or anything, and that's why he was like a third, fourth round pick or mm-hmm. something like that. But I guess he's accurate in that range.
Exactly. Like if he throws it 25, 30, like he's not a guy, it's not like Rodgers where you're going back and he can throw it 60 yards or something. Yeah. But he can make the short pass and the 25 to 30 yard pass as well. So it's exciting, man.
Do you think there's anyone in Atlanta happier right now than Kyle Pitts?
No, because he hasn't had a good quarterback since Matt Ryan. And we saw what he did with Matt Ryan. Over 1,000 yards, made the Pro Bowl. Didn't score any touchdowns. I think he scored like one. But he had a great season. And yeah, you're right. He's probably the most excited person out of this entire, probably out of all the skill position players.
Yeah.
My question is really, how does Kirk fit in with this offense from an offensive line standpoint? Because our offensive line didn't do great in pass protection for the first like half of the year. They kind of got it together as the year went on. But it's definitely built more towards the run game, I would say, than the pass game. So it's like you have sort of a less mobile quarterback than we're used to having over the last couple of seasons with Kirk. So you got to wonder, how is he integrated into this offensive line? Do you make changes on the offensive line based on having Kirk Cousins as your quarterback to better prepare yourself to be primarily a passing offense going into the 2024 season?
Who knows, Graham? Yeah. Who the hell knows anyway?
But you know what I mean? Like,
they
it's
all
like,
just run together.
Yeah, it is going to be a different offense, and our offensive line is built more for the run as of right now, I would say.
It is weird. We haven't seen our team play, you know? Like, we don't know the identity. Like, in my head, like, when you're talking about that, I'm like, oh, yeah, we're a ground-and-pound team. But that's not the case anymore. But we also just haven't seen what this offense looks like.
Right.
It's not complete yet either.
No. But do you think they'll make changes on the line, considering like these guys are kind of built more for the run game right now, it feels like to me?
Yeah, maybe one or two pieces just get a little beefier up the gut, but I think they're...
Yeah, I would like to go after a good center. Like, if you see a good center in the draft, take a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, the draft just got a lot more interesting for us, I think, because like now we're in a position, do you trade back, get some more picks?
Because
like if you can trade back, if like that stud DN that you want so much isn't there at eight, you trade back, you get that wide receiver two or three,
or a cornerback
in like the teens to 20s, then that's a little more acceptable.
Yeah,
and then you got another second round pick to work with to, you know, beef up those lines a little bit. Yeah. It's intriguing.
It's like, interesting.
I mean, that's the beauty of signing, going with the free agent. Like if you just put the money down, your biggest need can be instantly filled.
Right, with the draft, you're saying. The need for him, yes, right, is instantly filled, and then your other needs can be supplemented in the draft.
Pieces we can fill through the draft now.
Right. Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see how Terry attacks it. One thing I'll say about Terry is, like, overall his free agent signs have been really good outside the receiving core, which, again, we'll get to Mooney in a second, but it's like you trust him for the most part on what he's doing with free agent signings. Like, that's where he made his bones in New Orleans. So there's still part of me that feels like this front office hasn't really made like a great decision on any of like their big, big gets, particularly in the draft. But I got to say that I think this is going to work out based off just reading more about Kirk, seeing the kind of leader he is, and just the production on the field. Like, you're going to have someone who's walking into Flowery Branch who garners respect for what he's done in the league, as opposed to Mariota, who's a journeyman, and Ritter, who didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Yeah. Did you see who, and this kind of just goes into the character, I mean, not the character, but the persona of Kirk Cousins, who's like just basically, you know, square.
Pretty standard white guy.
White guy.
Yeah.
did you see who broke the news that he was getting traded?
His snow shoveler. Yeah, I don't know if this is bullshit or not. Some people say
it's
bullshit.
But
yeah, I saw that on Reddit right before I was leaving the house. It was like this guy posted on Facebook a picture of him with Kirk Cousins that did not look Photoshopped, saying, "I've been Kirk Cousins' neighbor and snow shoveler ever since he was in Minnesota. He's been great for our family. He just informed us that he's going to Atlanta." And this is before the legal tampering period could commence officially, even though we all know it you know, proceeded well before then, with, I guess, illegal tampering. And he said, "Yeah, good luck in Atlanta, Kirk." And lo and behold, like 3 or 4 hours later, there was the news. But yeah, he broke the story.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it just goes like that's Kirk. Just, you know, he could like live in the house like right up the road from us. Like, that's kind of who he is. Pretty humble dude.
Yeah.
certainly, you know, he'll be shopping at your local Kohl's or Target.
Right, getting his Patagonia sweatshirts.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it was funny. I saw this thing on Reddit also where his Instagram, he posted like pictures of moving boxes. And he was like, I'm thinking about getting rid of some old family VHSs or maybe keeping some. I don't know. And he took a picture like of this box with like VHS tapes in there. But behind it were like three or four other boxes. And I was like, we're fucking getting this guy. He deleted it like 5 minutes later, too. Yeah. And so did the snow shoveler. He deleted his post, but Reddit and Twitter and the rest of the world caught it and screenshotted it before it was gone forever.
That's got to be such a wild thing to be going through, to like be on that level, like that type of money, making those type of decisions. It's pretty crazy.
It is.
But he's coming to Atlanta, and it's exciting.
It's exciting. We actually got like a real quarterback again, even though it's only been... not even 3 years yet. This would have been the third year without Matt Ryan. It still feels like...
that was too long. They were just wasted years.
They were totally wasted years. You know who also I think might be the most excited person out of any Falcon? Drake Grady London. Jarrett.
Oh, Grady?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Well, just think about all the work he's put in, the sacrifices he's made. Literally, I've seen clips of him being triple teamed. You know, and there was this thing on NFL Network where they were just showing all the times. It was like a couple years ago. And Grady was like, man, you guys need to put three people on me to stop me. That's what you're doing. And like they were doing perfect in pass protection because he had no help. Yeah. Grady Jarrett has not had any help in so long. And he's got to also feel awful that he's doing all this stuff on defense, holding the line together. And then he looks over at who's under center, and it's Mariota or Ritter. He's just got to feel like dog shit. You know?
Heinicke, yeah.
Or Heinicke. And now it's like, yes, I would love to add more beef on the defensive line and the linebacking core and all that stuff. And I know he wants that, but he's also got to feel like, oh, thank God we got a real quarterback back there as well. Yeah, so I don't have to, you know, it takes a little pressure off him coming back from, you know, his injury from last season.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't think we're done. So like you said, we got a wide receiver.
Yeah. Darnell Mooney.
We got a blocking, like apparently one of the best blocking tight ends in the league.
Right, from San Francisco.
So that, like, as good as...
I can't remember his name. Charlie something.
Charlie whatever. Like, we're not going to see him catch a pass, but he blocks great.
And that also speaks to the getting rid of Janu, where it's like, you don't need Janu in this offense. Yeah. So get a really good blocking tight end who also comes from... like, this is something I'm really loving about these moves, is that they're coming from a place where the offensive... the offensive playbook, the offensive philosophy is exactly the same as it's going to be in Atlanta. You're getting guys where they don't have to learn.
Our
new tight end.
Yeah,
it's
not
Kirk.
Like a waste year.
No, it's like, okay, we know how to do, you know, it's like, it should just be like putting a glove on with a slightly different feel. You just got to get adjusted to the feel a little bit, but in terms of the mechanics of the thing, it's exactly what you're used to. All right, Adam, let's talk about Darnell Mooney. The aforementioned...
Who?
Darnell Mooney. What kind of name does that sound like to you? I mean, not even like saying like who the guy is culturally, but just like what kind of name does that instill you with confidence? Does that
does it sound like a football name?
Does it sound like a football name? Is it like Bailey Zappi, or is it a little more masculine than that?
I'm picturing like a singer, Darnell Mooney.
Darnell Mooney. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
I could see like Bruno Mars, Darnell Mooney.
Yeah,
I could see that.
But you're telling me he's a wide receiver.
He's a wide receiver. Just signed a 3-year, $39 million contract with the Falcons. After having, I would say, two kind of subpar seasons in terms of his last 2 years, 2022, 40 receptions, 493 yards, two touchdowns. 2023, 31 receptions, 414 yards, and one touchdown. But in 2021, he had 1,055 yards. He was the number one receiver for Justin Fields that year, but has fallen by the wayside a little bit. So I'm surprised, even though... he got that 1,000-yard receiving season. I don't know why he would garner so much money, 3 years for $39 million for a guy that hasn't cracked 500 yards since the 2021 season. It's a little odd to me. We do need a second or third receiver. I am hoping that he is not our second option. And I haven't watched enough Bears game. I did watch a number of Bears games down the stretch last year, but I didn't really notice him that much. It was the DJ Moore show and Cole Kmet show mostly when I watched Bears game. I knew this guy existed, but he wasn't really at the forefront of my attention when watching Bears games. I hardly ever felt like I heard his name called, honestly. So I'm a little, even though his speed is supposed to be amazing, 4.3. He ran at the combine when he was drafted in 2020, but this doesn't wow me right now in terms of a signing, even though obviously he doesn't suck or anything. But is this a guy that we can rely on to really contribute to the receiving core. This is an area where Terry Fontenot has struggled signing free agent wide receivers, with Mac Hollins last year not doing anything. And then the guy that still we cannot remember the name of in the 2022 season as well, who just was horrible and was off the team in like five games. And then obviously Van Jefferson last year, who dropped that huge pass against the Titans and sucked ass the rest of the season. Again, though, you can look at all these guys.
I've never seen a worse football player than Van Jefferson.
I haven't either. At least with the Falcons.
And I thought that was a good signing.
He was okay with the Rams, but he was awful.
That's why
with the
I'll take this Mooney signing with a grain of salt. It's like, I don't know enough about him.
No, and you also look at who his quarterback was, right? He went through the Justin, you know, I don't even know who the Bears quarterback was in 2020.
I think
Andy Dalton, but you look at in 2021, 2022, and 2023, it was Justin Fields, and he had his best season with Justin Fields at quarterback. So imagine, hopefully, what he can do with Kirk Cousins. And every year, he's had a long reception of at least 40 yards. So that tells you that he can get deep, which is good news for us because we need that deep threat.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. We certainly do need that. That's something we haven't had in a number of years, really. So, like, if you can let, you know, Drake London and Bijan and Pitts kind of do their thing, and then this guy breaks the top off, awesome. That's what we need. That opens the offense up a lot. Yeah, I mean, there's still a number of, like, big-name wide receivers out there, like T. Higgins, Calvin Ridley is still out there, which would be a pretty crazy
interesting if he came back.
Reunion if that happened.
T. Higgins would be interesting. He was franchise tagged, but he once out of Cincinnati, apparently. I love T. Higgins as a receiver. He's really fucking good.
Former Clemson Tiger. You know, but like I'm looking at this like list of like the top free agents from when everything started. Some of these guys have been signed now. So it's T. Higgins, Michael Pittman Jr., Mike Evans, who got re-signed.
Yeah. But even though Higgins was franchised, he could still be available via trade.
Marquise Brown was 4.
Yeah.
Calvin's 5. And then Mooney's number 6.
Yeah. He's not a scrub or anything. I mean, like 400 yards is nothing to sneeze at. But you also would like to have more than that, especially if he's going to be our number 2. But you also look at the draft. There's plenty of great receivers. This is a deep receiving class beyond, you know, guys like Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze. You also got guys like Brian Thomas Jr., Ladd McConkey, Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, those last two out of Texas, you know, who are viable receivers who can come in and make an immediate impact. And probably people that I don't even know about beyond that. I mean, we look at, you know, look at what Puka Nacua did last year for the Rams. Drafted him in like the 4th round. He was one of the best receivers in football last year. He's perfect complement to Cooper Kupp.
This certainly isn't a top-tier guy, but maybe look for this in the future. KJ Osborne is a free agent, like ex-Viking. So, like, I mean, obviously now we look...
That's the rapport with Cousins.
Right. Yeah. So, like, because we need, you know, we need 4 or 5 wide receivers. So
yeah,
that's depth. If you get a guy like that for your 3 or 4 wide receiver, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And you need receivers, as we mentioned, week after week after Zach Robinson was the offensive coordinator or made the offensive coordinator. This offensive package is derived around 3 wide receiver sets. So you need 3 great to good receivers to be in there at all times. And, you know, one thing I'm really hoping for Zach Robinson, which we never really saw with Arthur Smith, is utilizing Kyle Pitts in the in the slot, utilizing Bijan in the slot. Hell, if you bring back Cordarrelle Patterson, right? If you bring back Cordarrelle Patterson on a really cheap deal, he could be your 4 and still run the ball every once in a while. I'm just saying,
I want to
see more creativity in the offensive passing formations than I saw from Arthur Smith. It was just boring, vanilla bullshit. I don't know why everybody thinks he's such an offensive savant. He had Derrick Henry, all right? And then Tannehill would throw it deep to A.J. Brown every once in a while. I don't think he was really that great of an offensive mind. I didn't see it here in Atlanta.
Did you see what he did today? I mean, I guess technically it was the Steelers, but they traded Deontay Johnson?
Deontay Johnson, the receiver.
Like
their
number, like 2 wide receiver.
Yeah.
And they need receivers.
Who would they trade him for?
A cornerback.
Okay.
But like everyone's like, what is this?
The hell are you doing? Is this they don't need more than 1 receiver in the Arthur Smith offense? Yeah. You need a tight end. You need a backup tight end. You need a third tight end, and you need a receiver. and a running back. That's all you need for the Arthur Smith offense.
People are already questioning it. I look forward to watching it myself.
I can't wait because we play the Steelers this year.
Yeah,
I can't wait for that, and we play the Commanders.
And then, yeah.
Also, can't wait for that because of Dan Quinn.
And Mariota got reunited with
Quinn. Yeah.
So, the storylines are there.
The storylines are there. That's another thing. It's like, even if this doesn't, like, I remember last year going into the season, and we were all pretty excited. We were all, like, you and I were excited about the potential of Ritter. But we didn't know what the hell would happen. Like, you know what you're getting with Kirk Cousins. And because you know what you're getting, you're automatically the favorite to win the division. And the expectation shouldn't just be doing that. It should be to win a playoff game. I think that should be your ceiling right now. Not your ceiling, but that should be, that should be your floor. Is winning one playoff game. If you don't do that,
I think it's just getting to the playoffs at this point.
No, we were supposed to get to the playoffs last year with Desmond Ritter. We better. And we still almost did that, despite all the bullshit. You better get to the playoffs and win a game with this guy as your quarterback. Because if you're telling me that Bijan Robinson, him, Kyle Pitts, and then Jesse Bates, obviously on defense, and all our other guys, we can't get a playoff win next year, it's unacceptable. And also, we need to change the narrative around Kirk now that he's our guy, that he can't win in the playoffs. And we need to prove that he just wasn't in the right place. Because, like, even in the Vikings season where they went like 13-4 and had all those one score victories. I think they lost to the Giants in the first round. That offense still scored 30 points. It wasn't the offense's fault that they lost. It was just like circumstance. I mean, a lot of like Matt Ryan's losses were circumstance in the playoffs. Some of them, obviously the 2011 loss to the Giants where we lost like 24-2 was on the offense. And there are other playoff losses on the offense. But, you know, Matt Ryan still got four playoff wins. It doesn't seem like a lot, but he still had a lot of success in the playoffs. And Kirk has good playoff numbers. I think he's got like six touchdowns to one pick and thrown for like 800 yards or something. So it's not like he hasn't played well in the playoffs. It might have just been his defense sucked, you know?
Well, and we got to make sure, like, I think it's probably fairly safe at this point to assume that we're going to take a step forward offensively. But like,
you're averaging 19 points a game with Kirk Cousins, then we really are fucked.
But like, will the defense take a step back without Ryan Nielsen, Jimmy Lake? Like on paper, that's not as good of a coordinator.
And it's not just that; the schedule's a little tougher this year. The schedule was soft last year.
Yeah. So like, I mean, that's the question. We don't want to. So I mean, I hope the draft is just very focused on adding depth on the defense.
Yes.
Cornerbacks.
Agreed.
Obviously, your line, like. Yes, we need another wide receiver or two, but like I'm less concerned about that than I am defensive depth.
Like, yeah, like
if we're running a 3-4 defense, we need more than four linebackers. Like we need to stack that depth.
Yeah, and you need more than what you got on the defensive line too. You can't just have Onyemata and Grady as your on the line with Arnold Ebiketie. That's just not going to fly.
Yeah, let's circle back here real quick, Graham. Mm-hmm. Back to quarterback. So
yep.
Now that we know, and we discussed this a little bit last week, we know for sure, that Cousins is the number one quarterback.
Right.
Which one of the two guys on our roster do you want as our backup? Heinicke or Ritter?
I say neither. I'd like to just get rid of both of them.
And bring in what?
I don't know. Bring in someone who's not going to... Either one isn't going to cost as much as Heinicke... And two, has no connection to the building and Ritter. Because I think Heinicke's $7 million a year for a guy that's not supposed to play is ridiculous, particularly when you have Kirk Cousins as your quarterback. Two, the whole Ritter thing is toxic to me. If he just sticks around. We saw some flashes of talent. Ritter isn't a total loser out there, but you want to get rid of that baggage. I don't want either one. One, like I said, with Heinicke with the price and Ritter with just what happened last year. It's just going to be awkward. Get rid of them both. Bring in someone else. I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
Bring in Joe Flacco. Bring in Joe Flacco at a league veteran minimum. If Cousins goes down, we know Joe can still throw the rock.
I guess that would be okay, but I don't know. I do like the concept of Ritter learning behind Cousins, and like I still think the guy has talent. Like we all saw the talent.
I don't think he doesn't have talent, but wouldn't you say, like, from a chemistry standpoint, that could be dangerous, where he has to shift from being like I'm the guy to
potentially
I am not the guy. And then if Kirk Cousins, God forbid, gets hurt, You're just getting the same shit you got last year.
Ultimate comeback story if Ritter stepped in. But like, I mean, that's where I'm also.
If he
like,
stepped in, it's gonna be the ultimate
but that's where, like
fuck us story.
I'm also like, if he gets hurt, then I'd prefer Heinicke. Like, I think Heinicke never really got like
he never got comfortable with that offense. I agree, but he's cost too much. You can save more money by getting rid of Heinicke and then just trade Ritter for a sack of potatoes and move on. Like, I think you just need to bring in someone outside the organization who can know his place and who can contribute if Kirk Cousins goes down. And Joe Flacco is a guy that can do that.
Or start fresh with, like, maybe you draft, like, your Bo Nix in, like, the third or fourth round.
I think that's wasting a draft pick. You can get value at receiver in the third or fourth round. I'd rather do that than draft Bo Nix.
Yeah, we just signed a guy to 4 years.
I think the first four picks, honestly, need to be on the defense. And they're probably not going to do that, but you need a cornerback. You need another defensive end. And hell, why not just get another one, corner or defensive end, just to shore up things? Because like you said, Jeff Okuda is now with, Houston?
Yep.
Or something?
Yep, said that before the show. So yeah, Dan is his name Danielle, by the way? Danielle Hunter?
I think it's Danielle.
Okay.
Danielle will be a little feminine.
It's spelled Danielle.
It is.
So Danielle, like he's off the market. He signed with Houston.
Which sucks. They are loaded.
They got
man.
Okuda as well. Obviously CJ Stroud, so they're going to be good. But that doesn't matter to us.
No, but that was a guy that I think we were all kind of dreaming about. But I would rather have a good, as much as I want a absolute game record defensive line. We had to address quarterback over everything else. So if you had to pick, I'll pick Kirk Cousins.
It's a good start. I'm guessing we'll have a lot more to talk about next week too.
Yeah, and like free agency is ongoing. Like things are going to keep happening. But I think it is, at the end of the day, an exciting time to be a Falcons fan, knowing that we're getting a quarterback who can produce great numbers. Now the question is, can he win where he hasn't won before in the postseason? So we'll just have to sit back and watch. But there's less questions about what a guy can be in terms of, can he actually play the game? Now it's just a question of, can he win in the big moment? So
safe to say Falcons go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, Falcon going to the Super Bowl, okay. As Mel from Southwest ATL would say.
Perfect.
Anything else with the Falcons you want to discuss? I think we
hammered it home.
We hammered it home. Okay. We'll take a break here, a word from our sponsor, then touch on the Hawks a little bit, maybe mention some Braves spring training stuff, and then we'll wrap this puppy up.
Hey everyone, it's Ryan from No Credentials Required to talk to you about one of our newest partners at Belly Up Sports, SeatGeek. Yeah, live sports is great on television, but the feeling of being at the arena is a priceless experience. That's why our friends at SeatGeek are there to help you find the best tickets at the best prices. Not only can you get tickets to sporting events, we can also get tickets to concerts, comedy shows, musicals, and more. Search for your desired event now at SeatGeek.com, enter promo code BellyUpSports at checkout, and you save $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek. Life's an event. We have the tickets.
Adam, we're back. We're talking Hawks real quick.
No.
No. God, no. Please, no. Hawks are on a nice little 3-game winning streak. You know, beat the Memphis Grizzlies on Friday night. And then we, again, down a lot of their best players. And then we played New Orleans at full strength. Got destroyed on Sunday. 116-103. We went through such a weird phase there where we were playing all these players. Even going back to the Magic game I went to, like, 2.5 weeks ago, where they're just missing either like their best player or like two or three players.
Well, play the Hawks is a good time to rest your best.
Well, it's not even resting. They were just injured. Kind of like how we were having a lot of injury problems. But we played New Orleans and they're at full strength and they beat us 116-103. It was worse than what the scoreboard read. And then in the wake of that, Sadiq Bey tears his ACL. And so you got another Hawk down. So what's that? You got Trey probably out for the year. Sadiq definitely out for the year. Onyeka out for God knows how long. And like we reported last week, like we broke it. LOL. Jalen Johnson sprained his ankle and is probably going to be out for the rest of this week as well. So
it's beyond.
It just sucks to be a Hawks fan right now. It's like the team isn't very good and so many critical components of your team are injured.
Could you imagine like,
the most critical component is Andrew and Trey.
Could you imagine only being a Hawks fan? Like,
this is our only, like, if you're Oklahoma City, right? Yeah, and then
that's all you got.
Chet and Shai Gilgeous, I can't, Gilgeous Alexander was hurt, and you know, you're sure. That's all you got.
Like, I mean, this team is so cursed right now. Like, it's only a matter of time before DeJounte's out for the season, right?
Yeah, he's probably gonna be looking around thinking a damn piano is gonna fall on his head. Yeah, poor guy.
It's been a waste.
Seems an awful waste.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what depth you, like, I mean, we have no depth.
There is no depth.
So who steps in for Sadiq?
I can't remember. It was this guy that played on Sunday, and I can't remember his name.
Oh, Vic Kresge?
Yes, that guy.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hunter has to become a starter again. Like, there's no option around. I know he's doing great off the bench, but are you kidding?
Yeah, we can't have Vic Kresge.
Yeah.
He is like, I don't know, I remember like one time I got excited about him because he was like, oh, this guy was like a stud in Europe, but...
He reminded you of...
he sucks.
Zaza.
No, I mean, he's a completely different player than Zaza.
Daniello Gallinari.
Closer, but not even.
Still no.
Yeah. Just okay. No good, Graham. No good.
No good.
I would love to see AJ Griffin come back.
He's apparently playing a lot at College Park. So if you want to go see the Skyhawks play, you know what's. I'm going to go on a tangent here. Our minor league equivalent of what a minor league basketball team is called the Skyhawks. And yet, Skyhawk himself has been absent from State Farm / Phillips Arena for years. Steve Coonan. I know you don't listen to the show, but if you did, bring back Skyhawk. I've been to multiple Hawks games this year, and I haven't even seen the Skyhawk team come out when they used to. Where is Skyhawk?
He's been gone for like 10 years, bub.
I know. It's very unfortunate.
All right, Graham, here's some history for you.
All right.
He's an anthropomorphic hawk wearing basketball shorts, a nylon bodysuit and mask, and wrestling boots. During a break in action in every game, he performed acrobatic slam dunks with the aid of small trampoline.
In every game.
Skyhawk ceased appearing during the 2013-2014 Atlanta Hawks season.
All right.
After he tore his ACL during a mid-game show at a timeout break.
That's what happened? And they never brought him back? They just retired him after that?
And then February 2019, the Hawks announced their G League affiliate would be named Skyhawks in reference to the former mascot. But you know you're onto something.
You're telling me we cannot get someone who can do that.
No, you're definitely onto something. Why would they not bring, at least in for the G League? Like, why not bring him back?
Yeah, bring him like. And I will say this: going to Hawks games this year, they've done a great job with their
promotions.
With their in-game entertainment.
Well, they better because the on-court sucks.
Sure, still have a good time going to Hawks games this year. But yeah, like it's been. Pretty exciting, this stuff they do. They do this thing where, you know, you have to put on a pair of shorts, a jersey. Like you have to run and put on a pair of shorts, then run and put on a jersey, and then, like, go make a layup, and you're competing against somebody. They got the half-court shot. They got a number of things that are fun to watch. They do this, like, passing competition where you also got to, like, pass the ball, shoot a jump shot, shoot a layup, and it's, like, two people competing against each other. It's all good. By the end of the day, I keep expecting Skyhawk at the end of the third quarter to come out there and do dunks for me, and I'm disappointed every time he doesn't.
Maybe they're waiting for the Hawks to make the finals, and then they're going to bring him back.
Well, they'll be waiting for the rest of our lives. We'll be dead by the time Skyhawk returns.
But it'll be exciting to watch from the grave, Graham.
Yeah, I guess.
And speaking of mascots...
Let's hope there's an afterlife.
Speaking of mascots and applying for jobs, did you see the latest job posting from the Atlanta Braves?
Is there something for Blooper?
Nope. The Freeze.
Freeze needs to be replaced?
Yeah.
Is he retiring?
I guess so. Or he...
Maybe I should throw my hat in the ring.
I really don't think you have the... I know you don't have the speed to be the Freeze.
No, I was the second slowest person on our travel baseball team back in the day.
Like, you could be the dude for...
I lost a lot of body fat since then, but I don't think I'm...
That doesn't make you faster.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I think I'm a little more in shape, but I don't think I would be able to... do the things that Freeze does. And also the Freeze has an image. You know, I don't fall into that image.
Yeah. You could be the Stripers mascot.
Chopper.
The Fridge.
The Fridge.
They do the opposite of the Freeze.
So where you can like beat the Fridge.
Right. But I think the Fridge, like it's the you know, the customer goes first, the fan, and then the fridge comes on the backside because he's slow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's just how it works.
Oh, I could definitely do that.
Yeah. But
I could probably beat somebody, too, I think, just depending on who it is.
I think you could beat, like, a random guy.
Yeah. If you see a job opening for the fridge, let me know.
Okay.
All right.
That seems more fitting.
Yes. But that's where the Hawks are at. Still in the 10 seed. Got a game against Portland coming up that they should win on Wednesday.
With who?
DeJounte, DeAndre, Clint.
If Jalen comes back, we can still win.
Jalen's not going to be available, I don't think, but Bogey. You should be able to beat... Portland's terrible.
Even Kobe Bufkin got hurt. I was all excited.
And Kobe Bufkin got hurt, too.
I was all excited to see that rookie, and he got hurt.
Yeah. But I will say this, like, Bruno... Alexa really likes Bruno Fernando. She was very impressed by him in the Magic game that we went to. She's like, oh, who the hell is that guy? I like that guy. And I explained who Bruno Fernando was, how he was drafted, then left, then came back.
Yeah. He's a banger.
Yeah. He's like, he's not, like, great, but I'm enjoying watching him. He's, like, putting out maximum effort.
He tries hard.
He tries hard, so.
We need more guys who try hard.
Yeah. So, honestly, if the Hawks can make the 10 seed with all these injuries, that shows a little bit of fortitude on their part. So, I mean, I'm kind of pulling to get back in the play-in game.
I think I needed to hear you see,
like, these guys, you know, hold it together, because you're seeing some adversity going on right now with this team. And it's funny how they haven't, I mean, they're like, what, 6-3 or 5-3 since Trey went down. And a lot of that, like we mentioned, has been circumstantial with other teams we played just having the same kind of luck in terms of injury. But they're not giving up. They're trying. They're doing the, you know.
That's good to hear.
It is what it is.
You've adjusted your expectations.
My expectations were never high. I've been saying blow it up for the last 2 years. But I like seeing what I'm seeing in terms of, like, Quinn hasn't lost the team. They're not just rolling over and dying. They're still trying to win,
if they can
even though they still can't play defense.
If they can withstand another injury, that would be wild. Like, you got to bring AJ Griffin in at this point. Like,
I would think so. I know you really want to see. I do. I want to see him, too. It's interesting how just... I know he had, like, there were some mental health issues, and...
Then I do think he got, like, somewhat injured with the Skyhawks, of course.
Yeah, and... recently, or just like in the past?
When he started playing with them again, like a few weeks ago.
Oh, great. Okay. So who knows if we'll see him this year.
Pretty standard.
But anyway, that's your Hawks report. Nothing fantastic, but the Hawks haven't given us anything fantastic all season, so it is what it is. Braves continue spring training. Ronald Acuna is making progress to coming back. Spencer Strider struck out 9 against the Twins the other day. 6 of those strikeouts with his new curveball.
Mm.
So it's really nice seeing that. You can watch that on Reddit or YouTube or Twitter, wherever you get your sports videos. Curveball snapping, bro.
You're impressed.
I'm impressed. I think he's ready to unleash that on the world. And the fact that he's using that more in strikeout situations and he isn't just feeling it out anymore shows a lot. I've always been a big fan of Spencer Strider. I think we all have. But the way he continues to improve himself shows a lot. You don't see a guy show up at spring training every year with a new pitch, and also with a pitch that's really effective. So to go from, I threw it a couple times in live BP to, I'm throwing it like, I don't know, 15, 20 times in a game now, even though it's just spring training. God, love the guy, man. He's just got the heart of a warrior.
That's what makes him so special. And like, he's going to be like a top three pitcher, probably, you know?
Yeah. And he was great last year. He just gave up, you know, he just had those games every once in a while where he would just blow up and give up like 8 runs to the Pirates, but then he'd come back and shut down the Phillies. You know, it was just so weird how that worked out. But I think we're going to see a more consistent Spencer Strider and see a guy that's ready to just destroy the world this coming season.
I think he saw a hole in his game and, you know, he's not satisfied with being great. He wants to be the best.
Yeah, and I think
that's what this is.
I think he can be. I think it's all there for him. It's all there for him. And it made me really just jacked up for the baseball season and just this new attitude of World Series or bust. Love it. And I also like that it's not... Remember Dave Roberts after the Dodgers signed Freddie Freeman? And he just came out and said, well, I think we're just going to win the World Series. I can't remember who was interviewing him. That's what he said. And I was like, screw you, man. That's just so arrogant to just say, we're going to win the World Series. They lost in the Division Series, of course. But I like that the Braves aren't saying we're going to win the World Series. It's just the mindset that we want to win the World Series.
That's the goal.
And that's like the goal. And everybody knows that. That's like, you know, that's like put on the bulletin board. and it stabbed in with a big hearty nail. Like, we got to win the World Series, but it's not saying we will. It's saying that is our goal. And I think that's great because it shows a little humility, because anything can happen, but that's got to be the goal. It can't just be, oh, go win division, see what happens. Like, I hate that shit. Love what this team is doing.
They know as well as anyone that shit goes weird in the NLDS.
Yeah.
For years and years and years.
But everybody's healthy. People seem to be performing well. Mike Harris looks great. Ozuna looks really good.
Kalanick's the only not performing well right now, but yeah, I think they're making a lot of changes to his swing as well.
Yeah, and so that's fine. We've got to be patient with him. Again, offensively, there's no pressure on him. Just play good defense, contribute a little bit. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. But yeah, no major news out of Braves camp currently. No. So we'll kind of see. The rosters are they're trimming.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys.
Smith Shaver got sent down.
Yep. So we're going to see a lot more of that over the next couple weeks. See the major league guys on TV soon and getting like pretty full game at bats. And April will be here before we know it.
Graham. Yeah. And I think the Dodgers kick off the season like 10 days or something. Some game in Japan or something.
Huh.
Yeah. I remember they did that a couple years ago, too. I think, like, the Dodgers and A's played in Japan. I don't know who they're playing this year. But
we got to get this fantasy baseball draft going, then.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a note for you, Dorado. Get this thing going, Commish.
Yeah.
It's time.
Doubt he listens, but it's out there.
Yeah.
The word will get to him.
The word will get to him.
With our wide user base.
All right. We want to thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. Until then, rise up, chop on, unite and conquer, and remain true to Atlanta. Hospitamisit.